And please turn your Bible to the Gospel of John. We're going to be studying the first chapter. We're going to be starting on verse 1, and then we're going to go ahead and finish on verse 13. So we're going to be studying the first 13 verses of chapter 1. So the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 13. When I was in FIU, I took a world religions class. And the first thing that they told us over there is that Christians are out of their minds. That Christians are out of their minds for believing in Jesus Christ. They said those Christians are confused because they say that it's three, but then they say it's one. So what is it? And so right away you saw that there was a huge attack against believers. And there was a great attack against the deity of Jesus Christ. If you look at our culture and our world today, nobody has a problem with you saying God. Because for everybody, God is different. But when you mention the name of Jesus Christ, that's when you get the resistance. That's when people say, we need to get the name of Jesus Christ out of our schools. We need to get the name of Jesus Christ out of our courts. We need to get the name of Jesus Christ out of our government, our money. The name of Jesus Christ is not welcome. If you say just God, nobody really gives you any problems or trouble. But mention the name of Jesus Christ, and it is the most controversial thing that you could say and talk about in our society today. In the book of John, it's going to talk to us about the deity of Jesus Christ and who he really is. And in this world, you need to be ready to defend your faith. You need to be ready to stand up and say, Jesus Christ is not just a good teacher or a good prophet or a good man. No, he is God. He is our Savior and our Lord. And we must stand firm in that belief. We must stand firm in our faith. In this world that tells us that Jesus Christ is obsolete, that the name of Jesus Christ really doesn't matter. We need to stand strong and stand up for Christ. So let's read the text together and let's see what we could learn from this text. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. This man came for a witness, a bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. And he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Here's our first truth here tonight. Here is our foundation, and it is this. Jesus Christ is God. He's just not a good prophet. He's just not a good teacher. He's just not a history figure from the Bible, from the old times. No, Jesus Christ is God, and he is alive, and he's seated on the throne, and he reigns. That is who our Lord is. And when you go out there to this world, many people will say, you know what? Don't tell me about Jesus. Don't talk to me about Jesus. Talk to me about anything that you want, but do not mention that name. It is the name of Jesus that brings the fear of people because they don't want to submit to Jesus Christ. But our conviction is this, that Jesus Christ alone saves. It is not works. It is not religion. It is not whatever else we could find out there in this world that says salvation comes through Jesus Christ alone. Many religions out there would tell you it is not through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not the way, but Jesus Christ said it clearly that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one could come to the kingdom of heaven except through him. And that is our belief, that is our message, that is where our faith is. That is our foundation of living. So we must start there, that Jesus Christ is God. Look what the text says here. In the beginning was the Word, And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. The text is very clear. When it refers here to the Word, it means it's referring to Jesus Christ. If you study verse 14 a little down from this chapter, chapter 1, you're going to see how clearly it says that the Word that it referred to here on verse 2, it is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the living Word. Jesus Christ is God. He is our King and our Savior. So you must stand in that truth. In this world, people will say, get that name out of here. But in our faith, Jesus Christ is the only answer. He is the solution to every single problem that we face. See, what this world has is not a political problem. It's not an education problem. It's not a moral problem. What this world has is a sin problem. What we have here in this world, the reason this world is so messed up is because it's full of sinful people, and we live in a sinful world. And Jesus Christ is the only solution to sin. He is the only solution. There's no other solution. I don't care how educated you are. I don't care who is in the White House or not in the White House. I don't care if you came out from a nice family, a bad family. No, it's all about Jesus Christ. It is only through him that we have salvation. It is only through him that we have righteousness. It is only through him that this world has hope. He is the hope of this world. He is our hope. So here's my question tonight. Who is Jesus to you? The test is clear of who Jesus is. But I'm going to ask you here tonight, is Jesus Christ your King? Is he the foundation of your life? Or is he just somebody that you know about? Is it just historical facts? Do you just know about him but do not really know him? Is he your true King? Is Jesus Christ God in your life? And you probably sit here and say, Randy, well, that's pretty basic, Randy. It's very obvious that Jesus Christ is God. Like, I came here tonight to hear that. Well, if you know that Jesus Christ is God, does he have control of your life? Is he the God of your heart? Is he seated on your throne? Because many will say, yes, I'm a believer in Jesus. Yes, I am a Christian. But the life that they live is a life that says opposite. They live a life that is totally opposite to what they say they believe. They say they believe in Jesus Christ. They say that Jesus Christ is their King. But if you look at their life, there's no way that Jesus Christ is being King of that heart. So that is my question for you here tonight. Is Jesus Christ truly your King? And if not, tonight could be the night where he becomes your King of Kings and your Lord of Lords. Surrender your life to him because he's worthy of your worship. He's worthy of your surrender. He is worthy for you to sacrifice anything that you need to sacrifice in your life to follow after him. This world will tell you to follow after money. This world will tell you to follow after careers. This world will tell you to follow after fame or after fashion. And all this distraction in this world will tell you to follow all these things. But if you truly want to know what to focus on in your life, if you truly want to have meaning in your life, you must focus in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Let him be King of your heart. Let him control your mind, your heart, your actions, your desires, your decisions. Let everything that you do be by the foundation of Jesus Christ. We've been studying creation here Sunday mornings, and it's been really good, the book of Genesis. And when Pastor Howard's been teaching, it's what happened after the creation, how God created all these things. But here on the book of John, you know, and it teaches us of what happened on eternity past. For Jesus Christ was not a created being. Jesus Christ has always been, because he is God, and God is not created. He has always been God. He has always been seated on the throne, and he is the God that has created all things. Not only is he God, not only is Jesus Christ God, but the second point is this, that Jesus Christ is also the creator of everything that you see and of yourself. Look at the text, what it says here on verse 3. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. You could underline that, you could highlight it, but always understand that. that Jesus Christ has created everything that you see. All the beautiful things that you enjoy outside, the trees, the birds, the animals, or the sunset, the sunrise, all those things that you enjoy are made by this wonderful creator, Jesus Christ. Your own body has been created by God, which is Jesus Christ. You have been created by him. And nothing that was made without him. So you must acknowledge that he is creator. And since he is creator, he is the one to whom we should give all honor and all glory and all praise. Is that how you live in your life? Is that how you live in your life tonight? Are you honoring God with everything that you have? Are you honoring God with your time? Are you honoring God with your talents? Are you giving over your gifts, with your resources? How are you honoring Jesus tonight? Because he's worthy of all. He's worthy of all our lives because he is God and because he has created you and me. So honor Jesus Christ tonight. Know that he is king. And don't fall for the lies of this world that says, you know what, Jesus Christ is just, oh, it's a good man, a good prophet. No, he is more than that. He is God. But not only did he create all things, he gave life to all things. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Jesus is the life giver. Are you breathing tonight? Pretty easy answer, right? Yes. Otherwise, you wouldn't be alive. Do you know who gave you that breath of life? It was Jesus. What are you doing with that gift of life that he has given you today? What have you done with your life today to honor him? What have you done with your life today to love him? What have you done in your life today to give him all your affections? Or are you giving your affection and your love to the things of this world? Who are you giving your heart to? Jesus Christ wants your heart tonight. He doesn't want just a religion from you. He doesn't just want you to go through the motions. He just doesn't want you to just pray here and there and read a little Bible here and there. No, he wants a true relationship with you. He wants intimacy with you. He wants to have your whole heart. He wants all of you, not just part of you. And so I ask you once again, what are you giving to Jesus? Because he gave everything for you. That is your Savior. That is the one that paid the price for your sin. You see, without Jesus Christ, we have nothing. Our lives without Jesus is without hope. This world has been a world of sin. When Adam and Eve sinned, this world came into sin, and we were without hope, enemies of God, dead in our sins. But then Jesus Christ came into the picture. Jesus Christ came into this earth in flesh, and he died on the cross to take your sin, to take my sin, and to bring us hope and bring us salvation through him. He has given everything for you, everything. Has held nothing back for you, never. And it was all an act of love for you. Do you want to know who truly loves you here tonight? More than any human can love you? Jesus does. And he showed it in the cross. And if you were the only person on this earth that he had to die for, he would do it. Because he cares for you. Because you're worth it to him. He didn't have to come to the cross and die. He was not guilty of any sin. He didn't have to pay any penalty. What did Jesus do to deserve death? What did Jesus do to deserve to be crucified? What did Jesus do to be humiliated, to have those thorns on his forehead, to be spit upon? What did he do to deserve that? He didn't deserve it. You and I deserved that because we were sinners, because we fell short of the glory of God, because we were dead in our trespasses, because we violated the law of God. We were the ones who deserved that. But Jesus Christ came in love and said, I will pay the price. I will do it. I will go over there and I will suffer the suffering that I do not deserve. I will die the death that I do not deserve so that I could give life to this, my beautiful creation that I love. So I could give life to them. So I could give hope to them. So I could give them purpose. And since you know this truth, then how are you living your life? Is it a life of surrender, of gratitude to Jesus Christ for what he has done? Or do you just live your life like it just was something that doesn't really matter? What does the cross mean to you? What does the sacrifice of Jesus Christ mean to you? Do you even realize how high of a price it took for that salvation that you enjoy? The price that had to be paid. The penalty that had to be paid for. Brothers and sisters, do not take this for granted. Salvation is not free. Sin has a high price. But glory be to Jesus Christ that he paid it. And as a return, all that we could do is just give an allegiance totally to Jesus Christ. There is no way we could ever repay Jesus Christ for what he has done for us. There's nothing that we could do to say, oh, we paid our debts to him back. We repaid it. There's nothing we could do to pay him back. But the least that we could ever do is give everything that we have to him and say, you know what? I could never pay you back, Jesus. I could never pay you back for such a sweet salvation, for such a sweet sacrifice that you have made for me. But one thing I will do is give you my life. Give you my mind, give you my body, give you my resources, give you my time, give you everything that you are requiring from me. And it doesn't hurt me to do it because I know what you have done for me, because I'm grateful for what you have done for me. He is worthy. He is worthy of your life. And tonight, I encourage you to shake your heart tonight and check upon yourself to see if you're truly being surrendered to Jesus Christ, if you're really giving everything that you have to him, or are you holding back? What is those things in your life that Jesus is asking that you turn to him, that Jesus is asking for you to surrender to him, but you've refused to do it? What are those things that Jesus Christ is asking you to do, but you won't do them? The people that he has asked you to serve, but you won't serve them. The people that he has asked you to forgive, but you won't forgive them. The people that he has asked you to love, but you won't love them. What are those things in your life that you need to give to Jesus? Tonight is a good night to give it all to him. Because you are learning here tonight that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of all things. He is God. He is Creator. And therefore, he deserves everything that we could give to him. There's something else that I want to touch upon on this point, and it's this on verse 5. And the light shines in the darkness. That means Jesus Christ shining his light. And the darkness did not comprehend it. This is a dark world. We live in a dark world full of sin, and they have been blinded by the enemy. And they refuse to surrender to Jesus Christ because they cannot do it without the help of the Holy Spirit. But it is our job, as we will see later in our text, to proclaim the message that we know in our hearts. If you so believe in Jesus Christ, if you truly say that Jesus Christ is your God, if you truly say that you're surrendered to Jesus Christ, why don't you share that message with others? Why won't you live your life in a way that reflects the glory of God in your life? I'm going to read to you this verse right here. And it talks about how we are to be witnesses for the glory of Jesus Christ. And it says here on verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. You see, John was sent ahead of Jesus Christ to prepare the way so that Jesus could come right behind him and proclaim the kingdom of God and salvation to those who are lost. And tonight, it has not changed. Tonight, we still have the task that John had back in those days. And it is to proclaim the message, to proclaim witness of that light. So how is your witness? How is your witness? You believe in Jesus. You know that Jesus is your Lord. And you might be living for him. But how is your witness to others? Because those who are in darkness need to hear this message. We are here tonight because somebody else told us about that message. We heard the gospel through somebody. Somebody took a chance and shared the message with us of light when we were in darkness. And the Holy Spirit took that vessel and took those words and convicted our hearts and transformed our hearts, and we became saved. But have you done that with others? Have you shared this message with those who are in darkness around you? Or are you too ashamed of the message to share it? Do not be ashamed. Because Jesus Christ says that if you are ashamed of me before men, I will be ashamed of you before my Father. Do not be ashamed. This is a great message. These people who are in darkness in this world need to know about this light. And we have the answer to this hopelessness that's in this world. In a world full of violence, in a world full of hate, in a world full of people killing people and people just doing all kind of horrible things to other people, there must be a generation, there must be a people that rises up and proclaims light into this dark world. Don't leave that task to somebody else. You have the Holy Spirit within you. Do the work of God. Proclaim his message. Live your life in the light of Christ. And do it with no shame. The people of this world are not ashamed when they go over there and they advertise drugs and they advertise alcohol and they advertise sex before marriage and they advertise abortion and they advertise homosexuality and all kind of mess. Why are we then afraid and ashamed to proclaim true light and truth that is real? In a world that is so dark, there has to be a people that rises up and speaks for Christ, that speaks of the light. And you guys are looking right at us. It is us, the body of Christ. We are the church. It's not just being in a temple. When you get out of this temple, you're still the church. The Holy Spirit is in you. You have the power of the Holy Spirit to proclaim the message to those who are in darkness. So be encouraged tonight and make a commitment that we are going to share this message. We're going to share it by our words and we're going to share it by our actions. Because the darkness cannot comprehend this light. But you know what? Jesus Christ has sent us so that we may proclaim it, so that the Holy Spirit could bring understanding, so that lives could be transformed forever. There's people out there right now in a very dark place that have no hope and see themselves in a way that they just say, you know what? What's life all about? What is this life all about? There's no meaning to this life. Suicide is up the roof. Violence is up the roof. And here we are sitting with this truth in our lap. Here's the truth of God in our hands. And many of us are not proclaiming it. Many of us are not being the light that we have been called to be. Don't let that be told about us. Don't come into the presence of God and say, well, I could have shared the message. I just was too afraid. No. Do the work of Christ. Proclaim the message. Proclaim the light, because this dark world needs it. So let's make that commitment. So let's continue here in our text. And it's going to be on verse 9. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. It's like we've been talking this whole night. This world does not receive the message of light. This world refuses to receive Jesus Christ. They want to take him out of every single place that you could ever imagine. But our job is to fight. Our job is to fight to say, you know what? I want Christ in our school because he is needed there. He is needed there. I want Christ in our courts because he's needed there. I want Christ in our government. I want Christ in businesses because he is needed in this world. He is needed because you see this world is going down and down and down the road. But the solution to all of it is Jesus Christ. So are you living your life in that way? You need to make a decision and say and know that even though most people will not receive this message, that you're still going to be faithful to proclaim it. That you're still going to be faithful to live it. They did not receive the light because they didn't comprehend it, but it is our job to share it. And so those are my questions for you tonight. Who is Jesus Christ in your life? Who are you following? Who are you giving your heart to? I will encourage you tonight to give it to Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way other than through him. Other people will say that there's many ways to get to heaven, that there's many ways to be saved, that it is through works, that it is through effort, that it is through whatever you can do. But no, there is nothing that you can do to be saved. It is only through the work and payment of Jesus Christ. It is only through him. And many of us are not saying that to others, but we need to start. And so it starts with an examination of our hearts and saying, who is Christ in my life? And giving our hearts completely to him. We must surrender to him. But here's the beautiful part. I do not want to end this message on a negative note. Sounds pretty negative so far. But I want to go ahead and give you guys the positive of what happens. And this applies to those who have given their life to Christ. Look what the text says here on verse 12. But as many as received them, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believed in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? Yes, there is a world that denies them, but praise be to God that there's some of us here tonight that have said yes to that calling, that has seen the true light through the illumination of the Holy Spirit and have given our lives to him. There have been those who have received them, and to those who receive him, they have been given the right to be called children of God. As opposed to how it's popular out there when people say, oh, God is everybody's father. No, he's not. The only children are those who have been washed the blood of Jesus Christ. Those are the true children of God. Everybody is the creation of God, yes. Everybody is loved by God, yes. But not everyone is children of God. The true children are those who have given their faith and their trust and their heart to Jesus Christ completely. So right there it says there the text, for as many as received them, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, those are the ones that are the children of God. There's no other way to be a child. Adoption comes by Jesus Christ. He is our only path to salvation. He is the only path to the Father. There is no other way. Something else that you need to notice here in the text is that we were born not of the will of man. We were born spiritually by the will of God. It was God's plan that you're here tonight. It was God's plan that you will be saved if you're saved. And it was God's plan that you will receive Christ if you have received them. And if you have not received them, tonight is a great night to do so. If you have lived your life away from Christ, rejecting Christ, tonight is a good night to say, you know what? Because of the text that I see here before me, I will repent and I will come to Christ. Do not leave this place without Christ in your heart. And do not be deceived that because you do good works or because you do church attendance or because you do ritual prayers that you are saved by that. No, you're not. If Jesus Christ is not your Lord genuinely, you are not saved. It's not how good you are. It's not how pretty you dress. It's not about your good looks. It's nothing like that. It's not about your status economically. It's not about the great job that you have. It's not about how many degrees you have. It's not about none of those things that this world is impressed by. No, there's only one thing that God the Father cares about, and only one thing that he's going to ask you when you get up there. Do you have a genuine relationship with my son, Jesus Christ? That's it. That settles it. That's the only prerequisite or the only requirement for salvation. It is that you will give your whole heart to Jesus Christ. And if you do that tonight, then you will be saved. So if you are searching your heart tonight and you find out that you are far from Christ, then tonight is the night to come close to him. Don't make the mistake to say, I could do it tomorrow, because the word of God says that tomorrow is not promised to anybody. It's really not. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how long you have lived, if you're old, if you're young, if you're somewhere between in the middle. It doesn't matter if how safe you drive or how safe you don't drive. Tomorrow is not guaranteed to anybody. Tonight is the night of salvation. Tonight is the night to come to Jesus Christ. And if you are far from Christ, if one time you gave your life to Christ, but now you're far away from him, tonight is the night to come back and serve him. Because we have spoken tonight of the beautiful things that he has done for you. What have you done for him? What have you done for him? What have you done as an act of gratitude to thank him? Is your life a life that is open to him out of gratitude? Or is your life is a life that leads other people to darkness? You have two choices with your life. You're either going to be light in this world or you're going to be darkness in this world. There's no in between. There's either light or darkness here. I don't see here in our text where it says gray area. I only see here in our text darkness versus light. And Jesus Christ is light. And God is light. And those who walk with Christ are light. So is your life a life that brings life and light into this world? Or is your life a life that brings others to darkness? By your attitude? By the way that you conduct yourself maybe at work? By the way you conduct yourself in your neighborhood with your neighbors? Will people say that you are a vessel of light? Or do you have neighbors that say, I don't want to have that guy as a neighbor. I can't wait for him to move out. My goodness, that's a horrible neighbor. Let that not be what is said about us here at First Baptist Church of Homestead. Let it be said of us that we are a people of light, that we are a people of love, that we are a people of peace. Why? Because Jesus Christ is in our heart. You see, in this dark world, people are desperate. And they want to see something different. People are tired of seeing darkness overtake this world. And you should be tired too. And we have the solution to stop it. We have the power of the Holy Spirit to put a stop to it. But the problem that we have is that we are complacent many times. The problem that we have many times is that we rather be relaxed in our homes, watching the football game, or watching the baseball game, or watching the Netflix, or being involved in social media, or be talking on the phone, and we get distracted by all these things instead of going out there and being light onto this dark world. Don't fall into that trap. Go out there and be light. I'm so glad that we are preparing packages to go out on Saturday and to put some of those, you know, evangelistic packages on those doors. Isn't that something great? Isn't that a great way to be a light in our neighborhood? Do you know that Homestead needs some light bearers? Do you know that Homestead is very dark? Do you know that when people talk about Homestead, they say, man, this place is just getting worse by the minute. It's full of drugs, it's full of prostitution, it's full of all these things, and people are just being negative and negative and negative. Let's be the solution. Let's be the light. Let's be the people that God uses in this city to bring light to this city. We could either be part of the problem or be part of the solution. And I believe that Jesus Christ here tonight through our text is calling us to be light and be the solution to this broken world. Will you be able to transform everybody? No. But you could start with one life at a time. You could do your part. You don't have to save the whole world. You can't. But you could be a light to one person at least that is around your life. Do you have a neighbor that is in darkness? Do you have a family member that is in darkness? Do you have a friend that is in darkness? Have you spoken to them of the light? Have you been a witness? Have you spoken light and life to them? Or have you just shut your mouth and gone on your own way? Because you're afraid of the opposition. Because you're afraid of what people might say or not say. Because you're afraid to lose friendships. The most important thing is their salvation, not the friendship. If you lose the friendship, let it be it. But they need to hear that message. And that goes for me too. That is a conviction that even as I'm speaking it, it's convicting to me right now. Because I have friends in my own life that I know that are in darkness. And I haven't spoken up, but I must. I need to speak out to them because they are on the way to hell. And I need to speak to them. I have family members in my own house, under my same roof, that need to hear the message of Christ. And I haven't spoken it to them. Why? Because of fear. Let's not let fear stop us from doing the work of Christ. If they don't like us, hey, let it be it. But we will proclaim the message of the gospel. We will be light because God is light. And because we want them to have this revelation. We want them to be children of God. We want them to come into the light. We don't want nobody that is around us to go into hell. We don't want nobody around us to be in darkness. That is not our desire. I know that it's not. But we need to come together as the body of Christ to proclaim that message to them. So what is going to be your decision tonight? What are you going to do with the text that's before you? When you see others speaking out against Jesus Christ, will you stand up? By the way, there was a group of believers on that world religions class, and we stood up for Christ. Yes, we did. Yes, we did. And we did. Got an A. We got an A on that class. We passed the class. She didn't fail us. Praise the Lord. But we stood up because we had to. They spoke against our Lord and our Savior, and we couldn't just let it go. We had to stand up on that university and speak up for his name. We needed to be light in that classroom because there were students there that were in darkness. There were students there that were walking in darkness, and they needed to hear of the light. And we needed to proclaim that Jesus Christ is the way, is the truth, is the life. We needed to stand up for our faith and what we believe for. Because Jesus Christ had no shame going to the cross. He had no shame suffering for your sins. So why you are ashamed of him for? That is my challenge here tonight. And so I'm going to go ahead and review the points and give some applications, and we'll wrap it up from there. Remember that our first point was this, that Jesus Christ is God. It is there clearly stated in the text. And I will encourage you to read the whole book of John. If you have never read the Gospel of John, please go home and start reading it. Make that your devotional for this whole month. Read the book of John. Because the purpose of this beautiful gospel is that we are for that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The whole purpose for which John wrote this gospel is that people may believe and put their faith in Jesus Christ. So it's a beautiful book to read and study. So if you've never read it before, I encourage you to do that. So that is our first point that we went through, is that Jesus Christ is God. Also, we stated not only is he God, but he is creator. Creator of life. Creator of all things. We also stated that Jesus Christ is light. That's who he is. It comes from him. He is the light giver. He is the life giver. And so our second point is then that we are to proclaim that message. Just like John the Baptist proclaimed that message and was that person that was preparing the way for Jesus Christ, we also need to proclaim that message. If you know that Jesus Christ is God, that's good that you know it. That's good that he's your Savior, but you need to proclaim it. And you need to know this last point is this. Some will receive it and some will not. The darkness did not receive it. There were some for which Jesus came. He came to his own and they did not receive him. Jesus Christ was before them and they did not receive him. He came to his creation and his creation did not receive him. We see that group of people there. But we also see a group of people that did receive them and got the right to be called children of God. Jesus Christ is God. He is creator. And therefore, we are to proclaim that to all peoples. Some will receive it, some will not. But our job is to proclaim the message, and that's all. It is not our job to transform people. That is the power of the Holy Spirit alone. And so we get to the part of our application. So what would that mean for you here tonight? Tonight we will start with this. If you have never placed your faith and your trust in this great creator, in Jesus Christ who is God, if you have never given your heart and your life completely to him, come forward. Because tonight could be the night when you are saved by him. If you reject him, you will go into a very horrible place called hell. There's no question about it. I don't care about your good works. I don't care how much you come to church. I don't care how much you pray and read your Bible. If you don't have Jesus Christ, you have nothing. So my encouragement to you tonight, my first application is this. If you do not have Jesus Christ in your heart and you're not sure, make sure tonight. Don't wait. Don't let it wait. If you're here tonight, Jesus Christ brought you here tonight for a reason. Do not wait. He is waiting. And you only know in your heart whether he is there or not. Only you know if he's the master and Lord of your life. And if it's not, make sure you fix it tonight. That is the first application. The second application is this. How is your sharing? How is your sharing of the gospel? Are you being light? Are you being light? Or are you being darkness? How are you living your life? If you're walking in darkness, tonight is a night where you could say, you know what? I'm going to be a good witness for Christ. I'm not going to be like those people that say I'm a Christian and then goes to work and cheats on their time and cheats at the work and does the work sloppy and curses and gossips. Because that's not a good witness. I'm not going to say I'm a believer in Jesus Christ on Sunday and Wednesdays and then go to my neighborhood and be the loud, obnoxious neighbor that nobody likes. Because that's not a good witness for Christ. No, make a decision tonight that you're going to be light and that you're going to be a good witness for him. So that others may come to know Christ through your life and through your witness. You are a vessel. You are the church. And so be the light that God has created you to be.